Somebody say, thank you, Lord. He's been around so much. We're so used to the good spirit of the Lord. Sometimes I think he's going to send us a winter so we'll rejoice with spring. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? If we don't worship him, he can shut this down. I don't want him to do that. I enjoyed his presence this morning. I enjoyed his presence praying for Brother Bill. I enjoyed his presence praying for Sister Susie's dad. I enjoyed his presence praying for my people. And then I just enjoyed his presence. You keep reaching for him, after a while, you'll be in him. It's better in him than around him.
Oh, yes.
No, you don't want to hear that. That's all right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is, soon will be Easter time. We have an Easter, what is that big word? Cantata? Cantata. I'm going to learn some new words here. Cantata coming up. Got several singers to celebrate Easter. And we're looking forward to that. I love Easter, don't you? That's the whole of the gospel, Easter. For I deliver, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 3. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. Amen. Now, I want to preach to you about those words. Notice what Paul said. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. No preacher can preach unless he receives.
Amen.
You can't do it. You'll borrow, beg, and steal, but you can't preach until you receive it. You first have to be affected by the gospel that you preach. And until you are affected by what you preach, your preaching is in vain. It's like a tap that lets water out. It can let water out all day. Turned it off, it's still just like it was. Am I right? So tonight I want to preach to you, God being my helper, on these great words. First of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Now remember, Paul was not equipped with the New Testament. He was talking about Old Testament. That was what he called the scriptures. Amen. And he said, according to the Old Testament scriptures, Christ died, but not in vain. He died for our sins. Amen. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Then notice also, not only died according to the scriptures for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he arose up again the third day according to the scriptures. So everything that Paul found out about Jesus Christ, he found out in the scriptures, and then he preached the scriptures as they were delivered to him. The Bible is an important book. It was Peter at the day of Pentecost that made this assertion. You crucified him, talking about Jesus to the Jews. Then he said, but God raised him from the dead. That was Paul's assertion, or Peter's assertion. They then got in trouble. The magistrates took them to court and commanded them not to be preaching in that name again. especially that he got resurrected. It was the preaching of the resurrection that aroused the ire of the whole community. They didn't mind a dead Jesus being on the cross, dying for your sins, but they didn't want a live Jesus walking around getting everybody's business. Isn't that the same way it is today? We don't mind him being on a cross and stuck on a wall. We don't mind telling people how he died for our sins, but we don't want a Jesus up and about getting in our business. Telling us, you can't talk like that. You can't walk like that. Come here, go there. Do this, don't do that. We don't mind a Jesus in a church house. We just don't want a Jesus walking with us all the time. You're not helping me preach. You see, it's in this 3 days. Had all of Christianity was posted, and all of Christianity hangs on 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. If the devil can foil Friday, he don't have to worry about Saturday, and he don't have to worry about Sunday. If the devil can foil Saturday, then he don't have to worry about Sunday, or he don't have to worry about what happened on Friday. But if the devil don't get it done on Friday, as the old black preacher said, it's Friday, but Saturday's coming. That Saturday is one of the days that Paul preached about, and he was buried. He died, and he was buried. And then he got up. A day makes a lot of difference. There's only a day between a student and a graduate. There's only a day between a graduate and an alumnus. There's only a day between a man being single and him being married. Amen? A day makes a lot of difference. It can turn your world upside down. Oh, that one day. But we're not talking just about one. We're talking about 3 days. It will shake your world. It will shake you when you begin to understand that it can alter your life in a drastic way. Now look, 3 days, it altered the world. Here we are 2,000 years later, and those 3 days is why this church is here. If Jesus had just lived, he'd have filled a history book. If Jesus had just lived and died and been buried, he would have filled a history book. But boy, when he got up, the paragraphs are still being written. And the songs are still being sung. And the preacher's still preaching. It is that altered the world. It shook the world from center to circumference. It will affect you. And it affects events now because if Jesus hadn't come, hadn't died, hadn't got buried, hadn't got up, he couldn't come back. So we're waiting in anticipation of what 3 days done historically. And why he come close today. I almost a couple of times felt like I was going to get raptured. I felt that which would rapture me. Leaping inside of me. Amen. So it is in there. When time falls exhausted at the feet of eternity, those 3 days will get the credit. Those 3 days altered the direction of history. Those 3 days arrested the drifting time. Those 3 days turn around the sequence of occurrences. Those 3 days. Let me talk to you quickly about them. And then let you go home. The first day. The first day, Friday. Good Friday is what we call it. The first day, Friday. has a heel shaped like a skull. There's an execution there on that heel that's shaped like a skull. There's now a corpse, and there's a tomb on that same heel. What did it mean? It's been the thought and the controversy of theology ever since those 3 days happened. Different thoughts about why it happened. All the way back to first century theologians to 21st century theologians, there is a great rift between them about what really happened when Jesus died. Some of them will say that that first day was just a legal theory. That just means a law had been violated and there had to be a sentence that was imposed, and that cross that Jesus accepted was him paying the penalty for what sin had done. Then there was a Dutch theologian who said it was wiping away an embarrassment of God's governance of the universe in removing an awful shame of that violation that had occurred that had been righted. Then, of course, there's the moral doctrine that happened on that first day. Christ showed us how far God would go to save his people. Then there's the revelatory doctrine. God revealed the heartbeat of his love at Calvary, at the same time unmasked the powers of evil, took away the pretense. He not only done that, but he showed the wicked governments of the world how they were God-hating. Amen. And the high priest, the cross not only ripped the mask off of religion, but it ripped the mask off of government. And showed that all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. That there was none good, no, not one. Can I get some help here? You see, the first day, we can't all explain it. There's just no depths to the meanings of it. But I do know this. On my record, there's a day when Jesus took my beating that was meant for me. There is on a record on that first day that Jesus cleaned a slate that I had dirtied, marred. It is on that first day he got under a load and lifted it off of my back. He took the charge that was leveled against me and nailed him to the tree. Am I making sense yet? If in Eden you see a tree forbidden, at Calvary, you see a tree that's forgiving. If in Eden I see a tree prohibited, at Calvary, I see a tree provided. Somehow, some way, on that first day of the three, he made everything right for my soul. He set me free. He liberated me. He made me whole again. He died for my whole man. He died for all of me. Body, soul, and spirit, that I might be all his. Anybody going to help me preach? He brought the exile back to his homeland. He got a wayfaring child and brought him back, put him back in good graces with his father and made him an heir. I know that at Calvary, that first day, my condition was forever altered by a man on a tree. He died for me. Now I am of the royal house. Listen to the old song that it's stated. Was it for crimes that I had done he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glory in when Christ the mighty maker died for man, the creature sin, the first day. The first day was bloody. The first day was vicious. The first day he took a beating he didn't deserve. The first day He was rejected of his own people. Give us Barabbas, crucify him. The first day was as wrong as man could make it. The first day man set out to crucify the Prince of Life. They set out to shut the sun out of the sky. The first day men was proved to be vicious and God was proved to be loving. The first day. Then quickly the second day he was buried. Oh, I know he died. He died until nobody questioned it. He died. They buried him. Can I say it? Get an amen.
Amen.
He died. But what happens when he dies? You have to go back to the scriptures. Only the scriptures reveal to you that Jesus just didn't lay in that tomb.
Right.
How many know that?
Right.
His body laid there.
Right.
But Jesus was more than just a man.
Right.
He was a God man.
Right.
Now the body of the man laid there, but the God got up.
Right.
And this is what it says. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
Right.
By which means that quickening Spirit, that Spirit quickened him in the grave, by which also he went and preached.
Yes.
Unto the spirits in prison.
Right.
Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah until the ark was preparing, with it, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels, authorities, and powers being made subject to him. That second day, he went preaching.
Yes, he did.
He held a revival. Just a
one-night
revival. But what a revival. He preached. Don't mean nothing to you, does it? Well, but he did. He didn't preach a second chance. He didn't speak of them having another chance. But he did go to sort out the days of Noah. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. On top of the mystery, Noah and his family were saved. But now Jesus has died on Calvary. Now his blood has run down and hit old Mother Earth. Now the fountain has been opened in the house of David. Now there is cleansing for sin. Now he goes preaching. He sorts out those babies that drowned in Noah's day. He sorted out all the good people who didn't have enough sense to get in the ark. He sorted things out. His blood, he preached. What did he preach? I have no idea. It doesn't tell us what he preached. He could have preached that he was the light. I don't know that he did. I don't know what he was doing. But I do know that he preached. And maybe he said, arise and shine, for thy light is come.
Yes.
In that dark prison of despair, here was light.
Right.
Here was hope for some hopeless people.
Right.
The blood had now been shed.
Right.
He was the official Savior.
Right.
Oh, there's power in the blood.
Yes.
Anybody shout, there's power in the blood.
Power.
Oh, there's power in the blood.
Power.
That power was loosed at Calvary. Blood came running down. Amen. Jesus died. Jesus died and was buried. He died and he was buried, but he was not dead. He did not go to sleep. He did not lay down. He was only in body in that temple. He got up in spirit and went down to the depths of hell and sorted things out. I can see death. As death sees him coming, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
You're supposed to be in the grave.
Yeah.
And I can see the grave say, you're not supposed to be here. I put you on a cold slab in a cave on the other side of that skull. I could see Lucifer himself and said, "Who are you?" Of course, I can hear Jesus say, "I'm the same one that you took up on top of a mountain and offered me the world. I'm the same one." Oh yeah, he come to sort out things. He faced and braced Lucifer and said, "All right, give him to me." He said, "I'll not give him up." He said, "You will give him up, for I am the resurrection and I am the life. I will have them." Lucifer, now facing the real Christ, amen, can have nothing to do but forfeit his power. Jesus came, and the worst thing the devil could have done was crucify him. Because when he crucified him, he put him in another territory. He put him high above principalities, high above power. He put him high above all. Hallelujah. Now he's in the grave on Calvary's hill. But he's also in hell, wrestling from the devil all his power. For the Bible said, the scripture said, he come to destroy the works of the devil. If it had not have been for the devil, there would have never been a grave. If it had not have been for the devil, there had never been a sinner. Had it not been for the devil, there had never been a sickness. Had it not been for the devil, there would have never been trouble. And who is the problem solver? His name is Jesus. And he comes to start stripping Satan of his power. He takes the keys. He sorted out Noah's day. And then we find those great words where he spoke of himself as a shepherd. He said that he would pursue the sheep. The 99 was put up, and he goes pursuing that one lost sheep until. Here's where the until starts. 2,000 years later, he was looking for me. 2,000 years later, he was looking for you. 2,000 years later, how long did he search for you? How long did he pursue you? The word until comes into play. When he was in the flesh, he could not move but just one step at a time. But now he has laid that body down, and when he picks it back up, it'll not be the body that he laid down. He is now ready to pursue until. He has the devil in control. The devil can't do anything to you if you're in Christ Jesus. He has to ask my daddy. You see, because of Jesus, I am in the family of God. I'm adopted, but I'm an heir. I'm a joint heir. Who with? Jesus Christ. The same one that came down from heaven, lived, died, got buried, and sorted it all out. And when he gets up, oh, when he gets up. You see, the second day is short, but I'm going to hurry to the third day. Because the third day, it's a preaching coal mine. The third day is when preachers get it down in their feet, and they get it in their heart, and they get it in their head, and they get all excited about it. First day, it's sort of gory, sort of bloody. Second day is sort of quiet. But the third day, Jesus steps out. Jesus gets up. You see, the night begins to disappear and the morning begins to draw thin pencil light across the eastern sky. The moon begins to leave the sky, the queen of the night making way for the king of the day. All of a sudden, the sky begins to blush slyly. The love song of the dawning of the morning comes. The strong Son of God shakes himself. The tremble of life comes back into a body that had been beaten beyond recognition. The tremble of life comes back. The quickening spirit, the Holy Ghost, comes back into his body, and he all of a sudden muscles tingle and eyes open. You see, you can't, unless you got a wild imagination. Can you understand that? He is laying there. He is wrapped and embalmed. He has been put spices under a layer of cloth. He's wrapped around. His arms are folded on him, and his feet are wrapped together, and his arms are wrapped tight about his body. And in every wrap, they've got spices, and he's tied up. And the only loose piece of cloth is the cloth they put over his face, called the napkin. Everything else is bound tight. You know what Jesus does? According to the Gospel of John, on that third day, when the sun was just coming up, Jesus came right through the cloth and left it laying. John said, as he ran to the sepulcher and looked, he said, I looked in. He said, I seen the grave clothes lying. But then he said, on further examination, he said, I seen the napkin folded and laid over by itself. He said, Jesus got up. He went right through the cloth and got up. I said, he got up through the cloth. And then he reached up and got the napkin, pulled it off his face, flipped it, folded it, and laid it down. And walked out. And he lives. Oh, you're not helping me, are you? When Jesus ripped the fabric of the grave, Moses over on Mount Nebo felt the tremor go through his grave. Only God knows where it's at. When Jesus ripped the grave's power, oh, hallelujah. Isaiah, the great prophet, felt the tremble go through his grave. Abraham felt it go through his grave. Sarah felt it go through her grave. One day, when that voice sounds, I'll feel it go through my grave. I'm going to get up one day. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to get up one day. I'm going to get up because death can't hold me. I'm going to get up because the grave can't hold me. I'm going to get up because I've got life in me. Oh, he should help me preach. I'm about ready to take my seat. You see, the thing we get is that he says, I am he that was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. And I've got the keys of hell and of death and the grave. All that know him say, he lives. Christ lives. Christ lives today. Christ will live tomorrow. Christ will live next week. Christ will live throughout all eternity. Christ lives. Well, I want to shout it. He lives. What did I feel today? A living Christ. A living Christ. Not a fake Christ. Not a Christ on a cross. A Christ by my side. A Christ under me. A Christ around me. A Christ over me. A Christ in me. I live and move and have my being in Jesus Christ. How can I do that? He lives. Oh, somebody ought to shout, he lives. I stand on the shore of sweet deliverance singing, he lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me. And how can he do that except he lives? I want my grandchildren to know he lives. I want my children to know he lives. Like my grandma told me, he lives. I pray to a living Savior. I worship a living Savior. I go with a living Savior. Jesus lives. When my heart finally quits, and one day if the Lord don't come, it will. And I stand on that great plain of eternal deliverance. When I get to that plain, I want to cry, Christ lives. When the gates of that great city open to me, I will shout again, He lives! Christ lives. When I go stepping on streets of gold in that glory land, and I salute angels and archangels and prophets and priests and kings, I want to greet them with, He lives.
Oh, yes.
When I kneel down at the lily white throne and I look at those nail pierced feet and I surrender my commission and I thank Him that made me a preacher on earth, I'm going to cry one more time. You live. You live. I've lived to see my living Savior. He lives. Oh, the first day was a bloody day. The second day was a battling day. The third day He came out with these words, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The devil can't dispute it. I hold the key.
Amen.
Death can't dispute it. I hold the keys.
Amen.
Grave can't dispute it. I hold the keys.
Amen.
I have all authority over the devil, over death, amen, and over the grave.
Right.
If you take me and I get burned up some way, I'm not going to do it on purpose. Write that down, Brian. I'm not going to do it on purpose. But if I accidentally get burned up and you can't find nothing but my ashes, scatter them to the wind. It's God's promise. He'll put the ashes back together.
Amen.
He has power.
Yes, amen.
Death, give Him up.
Oh, yes.
Give Him up.
Right.
And all of a sudden, as Claudia to say, I'm a child of the King. Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Then he would join in and saying, Ain't no grave.
Right.
Going to hold my body down.
Amen.
Ain't no grave. Going to hold my body down. Meet me, Jesus. Meet me. Meet me in the middle of the air. Woo!
Amen.
Ain't no grave.
Amen.
Gonna hold my body down. Why, He lives. He don't live in yesterday. He lives today. He don't live in some history book. He lives in my heart. He lives. I said He lives. I know He lives. And because He lives, I have hope. Hallelujah. First day's a bloody day. Second day's a battle. Third day, victory over the devil. Victory over pain. Victory over everything. He lives. I said He lives. He lives. Oh, we should have shouted, He lives. Do you really know He lives?
Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
My body's shouting at me, you're 71. My heart's saying, you're just 21. Go to it. If I ever get my heart over the top of my body, I'm going to take up shouting again, running, hooping, hollering, and shouting, He lives. Woo! He lives. He lives. He lives within me. He lives for me. He lives with me. He's with me. He lives. Well, I'm done. I want to take my seat. I don't mind telling you, I've had fun today. I didn't plan it, but I sure am glad I got in it. I serve a living Savior, don't you? Well, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Praise God. Feel Him. Yeah, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. For I am the Lord, and I change not. I am the Lord, and I lie not. I am the Lord, and I live forever. Therefore I say to thee, come, 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 weary, worn. Come, sad and discouraged. Come, let me live in you. And you will have joy unspeakable. It will be peace that passeth all understanding. I will give you strength in your weakness. I will be by your side. And I will reign from your heart. For I am the Lord. I am alive. And I live for you, saith the Lord. He's in this house to live in you. Raise your hands. Say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Make me your temple. Make me your temple. I offer you my heart as your throne. Come on, Sister Holly, and sing. Come on. Come on. Oh, you're stopping too quick. You should really be reaching, offering. You should be talking. Oh, He's here. The Holy Ghost is in this house. This altar's open. Oh, glory to God. This altar's open. This altar's open. This altar's open.
Trumpet sound, gonna get up out of the ground, 'cause there ain't